السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So I thought, inshallah, today just do a short seerah session. It's been about 2 months or more than 2 months we haven't done it. And like Mulana Sohail said, you know, this is the last hour of Ramadan. And I thought maybe inshallah we'll get some barakat of Ramadan by restarting it, and then inshallah going forward probably go back to the Monday schedule inshallah. And one of the things, when we left off, we actually, something related to Ramadan, the last 10 nights we just spent in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one of them being Laylatul Qadr. We don't know which one it was. Allah accept our prayers inshallah. But the Laylatul Qadr, this is a night that we mention, not specifically as in being Laylatul Qadr, it's as a night of worship or Ramadan, but this was when the Prophet ﷺ was in Ghar Hira, doing i'tikaf, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing dhikr, pondering over the purpose of creation, the purpose of life. And Rasulullah ﷺ was first, he didn't know what Laylatul Qadr is, he didn't know what Ramadan was. And that night, Laylatul Qadr, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down and gave him the first few ayat of the Quran, of the revelation, and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr, that we have revealed this Quran in the night of power, in the Laylatul Qadr. And one of the things, I don't know if I mentioned this last time or not, but we know that the Quran was revealed, the first revelation was given in the night of power, in the Laylatul Qadr, and actually all of the Quran was revealed in that same night. Now, this might be confusing, like, what do you mean, how can it all be revealed, and how can five ayahs be revealed, what does that mean? And the ulama, they say that basically from Lawh al-Mahfuz, where the Qur'an was revealed, it was taken from Lawh al-Mahfuz and revealed to the heavens, and from the heavens over a period of 23 years, as the, you know, the time necessitated, the Qur'an was revealed. So over a period of 23 years, the Qur'an was revealed. But the first five ayat were revealed in that night of Laylatul Qadr to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, we talked about how Rasulullah being all alone in i'tikaf, it's the middle of the night, all of a sudden someone comes behind him and he does not recognize he doesn't know what it is. And he says to him, a voice says that iqra. And he became fearful. He didn't know what's going on. He said, "Ma ana biqari. What am I going to read? Or I don't know how to read." And this being that was with him in that cave, in that small cave of Hira, squeezed him so tight, he felt like he was about to die. Three times this happened, and then the five ayat were revealed, and then Rasulullah ﷺ went running down the mountain to back home to his house. And he's scared, and he says to his wife, Khadija radhiallahu anha, that zammiluni, cover me. And he says, "I am scared, khashitu ala nafsi, I'm afraid for my life. I'm afraid that something's happened to me." And we know that the famous quote of Khadija radhiallahu anha saying that kalla la yukhzi Allah abada, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let you go to waste. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never disgrace you. And then she says some of the characteristics of the Prophet, that he takes care of the widows and orphans, and he takes care of the guest, and he has good mannerism, good characteristics. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let you, will never disgrace you. After that, he went to Waraqa ibn Nawfal, radiallahu anhu, he was one of the first Sahaba, actually the first Sahaba you could say, when he explained to Rasulullah that this is An-Namus al-Akbar. This is that same Jibreel alayhi salam, that same angel that would come to the other prophets. And he gave his, basically he didn't give the shahada, but he told him that you are a Nabi. And if I was given the life, and if I'm alive, when your people kick you out, then I would be a strong pillar on your side, meaning I will be there to help you and protect you, inshallah ta'ala. But unfortunately, he passed away, his life was up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him back, and we know that he will be from Jannah. Rasulullah saw him in a dream that he is from the people of Jannah. So going back to that night, Laylatul Qadr, we know that, we talked about this a little bit in Ramadan, that during that night, in large numbers, the angels come down from the heavens to the earth. And that same night when the Prophet ﷺ was not knowing who the angels are, not knowing what they are, not knowing what Ramadan is, that same night when Jibreel ﷺ was there in that cave alone with Rasulullah ﷺ, all the angels were watching. All the angels had come down to the earth, and they're watching this. They're seeing what's going to happen. How is this first revelation being revealed to Rasulullah ﷺ? So they come in such large numbers that the ulama say as much as the pebbles in the earth. And just, you know, that's something we can't even imagine. Just imagine the pebbles in the earth. You know, just let alone when you go for Hajj and you go to Muzdalifah and you start picking up the pebbles, and then all the pebbles that millions of Hajjaj are hitting at Shaitan. Just that number alone is, you know, in the millions. And just imagine the whole earth, how many there are. Now these angels, they come down because, and they seek permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come down because they want to get a piece of that barakah and that blessing that is that has come down to the earth during that night. And one of the things we know that they say ameen to all the du'as that we make during that special night. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qadr, He says Al-Ruh. He mentions that the angels and the Ruh come down. Now the ulama have difference of opinion of what that Ruh is. Some say that it's a special group of angels. Some say that it's actually Isa alayhi salam. Some, and then the most accepted opinion, that this is speaking about Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And we read in Shaykh Zakariya rahimahullah, his Fadail A'mal, the Fadail of Ramadan, how Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes down at the head of the army of the angels with a green flag, and he puts it on top of the Kaaba and during that night. So this is Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam coming, and that's the first time he met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The Prophet ﷺ actually met him knowingly, not knowingly who this angel is, and we know that before that actually Jibreel ﷺ came many times. So, you know, since we started the seerah, there's been times where Jibreel ﷺ was there, and I mentioned, for example, this is from the ancestors of Rasulullah ﷺ, when Ibrahim ﷺ had left his young son and his wife in Makkah Mukarramah, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was there when Allah ordered him to go, and he hit his foot on the ground and the pure water of Zamzam started to come out of the ground. Other instances when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came was when Ibrahim alayhi salam was taking his son Ismail to go sacrifice. And you guys remember when Hajar alayhi salam was opposed by Shaitan, and he comes and he tells her that, do you know where Ibrahim went? And she says, alayhi salatu wasalam, she says he went to go meet a friend, go introduce Ismail alayhi salam to a friend. He said, well, you know who that friend is? He's talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to go sacrifice. He's going to go kill your son. So she, at that point, she realized, she says that, and then the shaitan slips out. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him in a dream to sacrifice. So she calms down. She says, Allah ordered it, then you know, I have full tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other side, shaitan goes to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he tries to stop him. He keeps on warning him, telling him that, what are you doing? Are you out of your mind? You're going to kill this beautiful young boy? And Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam is ordered by Jibreel alayhi salam to take some pebbles and stone the shaitan. So that's where basically that came from. Jibreel alayhi salam actually ordered Ibrahim alayhi salam to pick up the pebbles and stone him. Another time when Jibreel alayhi salam had come so far in the seerah was when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a young boy in Banu Sa'd. Okay, so when he was outside of Makkah in Banu Sa'd, he was living as a young boy. He spent his early life with that tribe. And one day, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam and another angel, most likely Mikael alayhi salatu wasalam, they came and they took this young boy, laid him on the ground, and they split open his chest. They split open his chest and they cleaned out his heart. Another was what we just talked about, the cave of Hira. Other times, actually, in the past, before that, we know that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would come with all the prophets. So every time there's a prophet mentioned in the Quran and the stories of the prophets, we know that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was An-Namus al-Akbar. He was the one, he's the angel that would come to the prophets, and he would bring wahi. He was in charge of wahi. So he had a part in all of those prophets. So for example, you have the Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. When Yusuf alayhi salam was first thrown into the well by his brothers, Jibreel alayhi salam was in the seventh heaven, and he sought permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, "Oh Allah, if you allow me, let me go and catch him. Let me go save him from being injured." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him permission, and from the seventh heaven, Jibreel alayhi salam came, and within a split second he came down and he caught Yusuf alayhi salam before he hit the ground. So if you're talking about super speed, this is what super speed is. This is the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the angels. Also, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was being thrown into the fire, we know that Jibreel alayhi salam, in that split, those split seconds before being thrown and actually falling into the fire, Jibreel alayhi salam was next to Ibrahim in mid-air, asking him that, "Do you want my help?" And Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says that, "From you, no, I don't want any help. But from Allah, so Allah knows my situation, and Allah will protect me from this, from whatever is going to happen next." So Jibreel alayhi salam comes with all the prophets. And this is one of the things I wanted to speak of, because the seerah books and even seerah lectures, the ulama of the past have not gone through talking in detail about the angels. They mentioned the angels, they mentioned Jibreel alayhi salam, but nothing really in detail, too much about his background or how the angels are created or anything like that. So I wanted to discuss that a little bit, inshallah, today. So we have the creation of the angels from one of the hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha. She tells us that Rasulullah said, "خُلِقَتِ الْمَلَائِكَ مِن نُور," that the angels have been created from light. وَخُلِقَ الْجَانِ مِن مَارِجٍ مِن نَار, and the jinn and the shayateen have been created from fire. وَخُلِقَ آدَم مِمَّا غُسِفَ لَكُمْ, and humans have been created from that which has been described, meaning from dirt and from the teen. So we have the angels created from light, and being created from light, they search for light. And one of the things is a famous hadith. Rasulullah ﷺ tells us in this hadith, related by Abu Hurairah, he says, "Inna lillahi," and this is related by Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi, it's authentic, "Inna lillahi malaika yatawfoon fit turuk," that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has malaika, has angels that are yatawfoon, meaning they go around the world. They're flying around the world in search of that which they are created from. They are searching for that nur that they have been created from. يَلْتَمِسُ أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ, looking for the people of Ahlul Dhikr, those who are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا وَجَدُوا قَوْمًا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ تَنَادَوُ, so these angels are going around searching for nur. And as they search for nur, as they find a hilaq or halaqa of dhikr, they find someone mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing dhikr of Allah, reading Quran, doing a bayan, listening to a bayan, doing anything that's related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then these angels, they start to gather and they tanadaw, they call out to all the other angels, halummu, halummu, they call each other, come quick, gather around, and these angels start to come together, ila hajatikum, halummu ila hajatikum, come to that which you are looking for, to come to that nur which you are looking for. قَالَ فَيْحُفُّونَهُمْ بِأَجْنِحَتِهِمْ إِلَى السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا, and then they start to gather around that hilaq of dhikr. They come around those gatherings of dhikr, and they start up to the sky. They start forming around it with their wings, and they form a circle around those gatherings all the way up to the sky until they reach the sky. عَنَانَ السَّمَاءَ, until they go up to the depths of the sky. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing where they're coming from, knowing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows everything. He knows where they're coming from, but He asks them. He says, "Where are you guys coming from? What's going on?" And the angels, they say, "We are coming from a gathering of dhikr." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, "And what were they doing?" The angels say, "Yusabbihunak wa yuhamidunak, yahmadunak wa yukabbirunak," that these people were doing the tasbih, They were glorifying you. They were praising you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, have they seen me? And the angels say, no. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what if they actually had seen me? What if they actually saw the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then they would even increase even more. They would even do more ibadah of Allah. They would even increase more in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels that, be my witness that I have forgiven all of them. And then the angels, they say, but there was one of them that had come and he sat down, not because he came for the bayan, not because he came for the dhikr, but he came for some other reason. Maybe he was waiting for someone or whatever, but he came and sat down in that company of those people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this day, even that person who did not come for specifically for that reason, that person is also forgiven. So you see the blessings of these halaqat, of these sittings, of these, you know, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you even sit for 5 minutes for ta'aleem. If you even sit in your home and do ta'aleem, if you even do dhikr for 10 minutes in your house, if you go and visit a sick person, if you do anything, you go help, you're in the masjid doing the, not just ibadah, if you're in the masjid doing the fikr of the masjid, taking care of what's, you know, the needs of the masjid, that is of halaq of dhikr, inshaAllah ta'ala. That will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the angels will gather. There's a game, I don't know if they still have the Call of Duty. In Call of Duty, there's a screen when you're going online, and they would have like a map of the world, and it's all dark, except for wherever people are online at that moment, and you'll see lights in those. You guys, kids are smiling, they know what I'm talking about. So they have these lights, right? And I just remember, when I read this hadith, I just remember that the world is in darkness, except those places where those halaqat of dhikr are taking place. And it's like that map where you can see the light, where it's coming from. And the angels are going straight to that light to take part of that blessing and take that nur. Now the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Tahrim, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. That save yourselves and your families from the fire of hell. And on top, I mean, guarding the fire of hell, and just in general, the angels, that they do what they are told. They do not, they never, they're ma'soom, they are protected from any kind of sin. They don't even have the capability of sinning. And they do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered them to do. Now, one of the things, and I'll stop here because I don't want to keep on going, inshallah we can continue next time. The position of the angels. Now, one of the questions that has been recurring throughout the ages, the ulama, they say that, are the angels higher in position or are the humans higher in position? And the ulama, they say, Ibn Hamdan, fi nihayat al-mubtadiyin, in one of his books, he says, قال الإمام علامة أبو بكر عبد العزيز بن جعفر المشهور بغلام الخلال. So this Sheikh Abu Bakr, he said, رحم الله, he says, من كان خيره أكثر من شره فهو خير من الملائكة. That the one whose خير, so we have, you know, we have the balance of good and bad, right? The good deeds and bad deeds. The one whose good deeds are heavier and more than his shar, than his evil, then that person is better than the malaika. وَمَنْ كَانَ شَرُّهُ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ خَيْرِ فَالْبَهَائِمُ خَيْرٌ مِنْ. And the one whose shar is greater than his good, then not only is he less than the angels, but the baha'im, the animals, are actually better than this person. And another scholar, he says, كَمَا نَقَلَ ذَلِكَ الْمُطَهِرُ بِبْنْ طَاهِرُ الْمَقْدَسِي رَحِمُ اللَّهِ in his kitab, وَرُوِينَ عَنْ كَعْبْ. Now we don't know if this is Ka'b al-Ahbar, rahimahullah. We don't know if this is Ka'b. We don't know exactly who this is, but it could be one of the scholars, or it could have been one of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. أَنَّهُ قَالْ رَكَّبَ اللَّهُ فِي الْمَلَائِكَةِ الْأَقَلْ بِلَا شَهْوَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given angels the capability of aql, of intellect. He has given them intellect, bila shahwa, without any desires. وَفِي الْبَهَائِمِ الشَّهْوَ بِلَا عَقْلِ. And he has given the animals shahwa, desires, bila aql, with no intelligence. So the So the angels have aql, they have intelligence, but they don't have any desires. Now the animals, they have desires, but they don't have any intellect. They don't have any aql. Okay? وَفِي ابْنِ آدَمْ كِلَيْهِمَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in the son of Adam, in the humans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put both of these things. Meaning we have aql and we have shahwa. We have both intellect and we have desires. So he says, فَمَنْ غَلَبَ عَقْلُهُ شَهْوَتَهُ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. So the one that his aql, his intellect, overpowers and overcomes his desires. Meaning when his body and his desires, they want to do something that's haram, then his intellect and his intelligence and his iman, his faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if that stops him from obeying his nafs and indulging in that sin, فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَ, then that person is better than malaika. وَمَنْ غَلَبَ شَهْوَتُهُ أَقْلَ, and the person that his shahwa, his desires, overcome his intellect, that even though he knows that this is a sin, he knows that he shouldn't be doing this thing, but his desires overcome him, and he just, you know, he tries to put off his taqwa and just, you know, his faith and his intellect, turn that off, and he goes towards that sin and indulges in that sin. فَهُوَ شَرٌ مِنَ الْبَهَائِمِ. So that person is worse than the animals. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a tawfiq, inshallah, to rise above the angels by controlling our desires and having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that our good deeds outweigh our sins, inshallah ta'ala, and we enter into Jannah with salam, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair.